Ephesians chapter 1. We're going to read verses 7 through 14 together responsively. And then I'm going to pray and I'm going to cut loose. Amen. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 7 through 14. I am excited to preach something today. I'm not going to be swinging from the chandeliers preaching against your sin necessarily, and all God's people said, man, but I'm excited about, well, I might be preaching against your sin because that's how bad a sinner you are. No, I want to help you today. I hesitate saying this because most people don't understand. I'm going to preach a doctrinal sermon today. But doctrine can be exciting. It doesn't have to be dry and dusty like last year's Christmas tree. So I want to help you today. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 7 through 14. Let's read this responsively. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are in earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. And let's pray. Father, I need you today, Holy Spirit of God, please, would you meet the needs of each and every person here today. Lord, I cannot do that, but you could allow the Holy Spirit and truth to work in each and every heart, in each and every life at the individual level that they need. May we walk away today convicted, encouraged, and excited, please. In Jesus' name, amen. If you'll look at me, I'm going to start somewhere that means absolutely nothing to you at first, and you're going to think your preacher lost his mind, but I didn't have much to lose, so don't worry about it. The coupon industry in America, it brings in about $500 million a year. How many of you have ever used some kind of coupon before? All right, yeah, most everybody here has. The coupon industry is interesting. Now, there used to be something called paper coupons. How many of you old-timers remember those, all right? They still have a few of them, but now most of your coupons are on your stupid phones or whatever. I still haven't figured that out yet, but my coupons are not on my phone, all right? You have them in apps. You get them online. You can go this place. It used to be you had to wait for the Sunday paper, and the only reason you bought it was to get the ads and the coupons and find out where the deals were. Now, I know a little bit about it. Most of you don't understand how the coupon industry and how that actually works. Now, listen to me very carefully. I know that coupons are an incentive to get you to purchase something. That's obvious, all right? But how does the actual coupon work? Most of you don't understand. A manufacturer, not a store. A manufacturer will put out coupons to put something on sale. And what happens is this. Let's say they're going to give you $1 off this little widget. You might have to spend $10 for the widget, but they're giving you $1 off. Now, who takes the loss? The store? No. The store doesn't pay for it. The manufacturer does. But the manufacturer does not pay that to everybody, only those who redeem the coupon. Everybody following me? In other words, the consumer doesn't pay for it. The consumer gets the benefit of the dollar off. The store doesn't pay it. Now, they lose the money up front. What happens is this. sometimes quarterly, sometimes twice a year, sometimes just once a year. The manufacturer will have the stores put together all of their manufacturing coupons for that manufacturer, send those to back to the manufacturer, and they will reimburse the store for the loss. But the store gets the money back. Does that make sense to everybody? All right, now, listen to this very carefully. Those coupons are no good if the consumer does not use them.
Right.
They'll print hundreds of thousands, maybe millions of coupons, and only a handful, a small percentage, will actually use those coupons. The manufacturer prints many more times the number of coupons used, but anyone who has one of those coupons can use it, and the manufacturer will pay for it. Now, this is called redeeming, or the redemption of a coupon. I'm about to shout. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood for the forgiveness of sin, according to the riches of his grace. Now, that means this. God tells us that when a person gets saved, they get redeemed by his blood for the forgiveness of sins. Now, I'm about to come unscrewed. Are you ready? We don't pay for salvation. It's a get one free coupon. But you have to redeem the coupon to get it free. You see, we're using a coupon paid for by the manufacturer, who is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. It is all we have to do is redeem the coupon. We have to submit the coupon, and we get the benefit from the manufacturer. Can I tell you something? Jesus paid for it at Calvary. Salvation is a get one free, paid for by Jesus coupon. You cannot pay for it. The church can't pay for it. Only Jesus can pay for it. I said to somebody the other day, if you're born in a garage, it doesn't make you a car. Just because you go to church doesn't make you a Christian.
Amen.
Doesn't matter where you've been born, you're still a people. You see, you need to use the free coupon that Jesus has given you. Then, after you use it, God wants you to go around giving out free coupons to everybody so that they can use it too. You see, this is called the doctrine of redemption. Redemption is very simple. It is the act of God paying back to and paying ahead from so that you get the benefit, but he's the one that pays the bill. People in the Old Testament, I preached this just a few weeks ago, and you've heard me say it over and over and over again. People in the Old Testament, and I'll mention it today, did not get saved by the works of the law. By the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. The Old Testament law had nothing to do with salvation. Showed us our need for it and showed us what Jesus would come and do for us. That was done away. The Old Testament law that we were under is the law of sin and death. Ten Commandments were civil law. Levitical law never saved anybody. And the moral law was just cleanliness and how we should be living our lives in a clean way. But can I tell you something? The law of sin and death was conquered by Jesus.
Amen.
Now watch this. We've got to submit the coupon to get the benefit.
Right.
You don't get it free. By the way, salvation can't be purchased by you.
That's right.
It's only gotten with that coupon. There's no other way to get it. So, if you'll listen to me, I want to talk to you today about, I titled it, Use the Coupon. Use the Coupon. Number one, God's grace is wealthy enough to cover everyone's sin. God's grace is wealthy enough to cover everybody's sin. If you were to get a shampoo from Johnson & Johnson and you got a free bottle, Did you know that they have the money to cover the payment for that free bottle of shampoo? The store doesn't lose money on it. You don't lose money on it. The manufacturer is the one that pays for it. Can I tell you something? I don't care what sin you've been involved in your life. The Bible says God's grace is rich enough to cover your sin. My Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, for by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. It's the coupon from God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You see, Jesus paid for it by his blood, by a perfect life, by sinlessness, by not having a physical father that is earthly who is a sinner, but he had God's blood in him. He is God the Son. He is only begotten of the Father, birthed through the human vessel of Mary herself. Mary was not holy. Mary was not sinless. Mary had nothing to do with it other than she lived a clean life, but she was not perfect. She was not holy. She was a sinner like you and me. She died too. Watch this. You can't pay for salvation because you did not manufacture salvation. Uh-oh. Dee, why did you let your phone go off like that? All right. Anyway, let me show you what salvation is. Turn to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. I want to show you something. I've quoted these verses over and over and over while I've preached, while I'm out soul winning. But I want to show it to you in reference to what redemption is all about. Look at Romans chapter 10, verse number 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. Look at verse number 3, and this is where we're going to shout. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not, what's the next word? Submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Everybody look at me. The Bible says in Romans 3:10, as written, there's none righteous. But God says we're going about to establish our own righteousness. Folks, our own righteousness will not get us there. And the moment you get saved, the righteousness of Christ is added to your account, and you stand before God, not just sinless, but you have the righteousness necessary for salvation, which is the righteousness of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You can't earn that because you're a sinner. It has to be placed there. It's called imputed righteousness. Romans talks about it being imputed, the righteousness of Christ imputed to your account. Now watch this. You only get it one way. The Bible says you get it by submitting yourself to the righteousness of God. How do you do that? You submit the coupon and he gives you the benefit that goes with it.
Amen.
You have to turn the coupon in. You say, how do you do that? Romans chapter 10 later says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved.
Amen.
For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It doesn't mean you believe in God. The devil believes in God and trembles.
Right.
You realize you're a sinner. Because you're a sinner, you deserve hell. That Jesus Christ paid your sin debt for you. You trust what he did, and that alone to get you to heaven. According to the Bible says that you're going to heaven.
Amen.
The moment you do that. Now watch me. Say why? Because he paid for it, not you.
That's right.
He is redeeming you. People have said, well, the word redeem means to buy back. No, it means to be paid for by another. It does not mean to be bought back. It means to be paid for by another. You see, look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 14. We read this just a little while ago. I'm about to come unscrewed. Hang on here. Which is the earnest of our inheritance. Look at me. How many of you ever have purchased a house before? All right. When you purchased a house, when you started into the bidding aspect of it, you had to put $1,000 or so down. They call it your earnest money. That is your surety that when you enter negotiations, that you're going to continue the negotiation all the way to the end and actually purchase that piece of property. That's your earnest money. That's exactly what the Bible says here. Jesus, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased. He paid for it. It's already sitting in the bank. The earnest money is there. By the way, that's how the Old Testament folks got saved. God looked down and when man sinned and Jesus said, I'll pay the price. I'll be the author and finisher of the faith. So in the Old Testament, people looked ahead that Jesus would come. In the New Testament, we look back at the fact that Jesus did come. But the Bible says they were all saved by faith. By faith, Adam. By faith, Noah. By faith, Abraham. It wasn't by faith and by law. By faith. They got saved because Jesus put the earnest money down that he would come and pay the sin debt for us. When in Calvary came, he paid back the manufacturing company, paid back to those that were already cared for, and he brought them from there, took them from the heart of the earth back to heaven with him. Everybody doing okay? Now it's already been there. He's still got the earnest money there. He's going to pay for it after the rapture. But it's already cared for. So all we have to do is use the coupon. Everybody doing all right? Jesus in Genesis chapter 3 made a promise of guaranteed payment. Genesis 3:14, he said, my heel will crush Satan's head, but his head will bruise my heel. He was going to step on the devil's head. But in the process, it was going to bruise his heel. Did you see that in Florida yesterday in the news? They caught a 17-foot long boa constrictor in the Everglades. Had 72 eggs in it. They euthanized it. I thought, man, you could make a couple pair of boots out of that thing. Man, that thing was almost as long as this room is. I mean, it was a massive puppy. Weighed 140-some pounds. That's a big snake. I told my son, I texted him the article, and I said, you keep them puppies down there. You can have them. He said, yeah, that's getting a little too close to home, Dad. He lives right at the edge of the Everglades. I said, yeah, you can keep all them down there that you want. Grandma won't come see you, I promise you. Too many snakes that size. She doesn't even like worms. But anyway, can I tell you something? When my wife and I were building our house, we put down a certain amount of money, holding it until we sold our house and went through the loan process. Jesus said, Father, I'll go. He said, I'll take your word as the earnest money. Because your word is as good as your action. So when Jesus finally came and paid the sin debt for us, he cashed in on those manufacturing coupons and paid them off. But he also left enough in the account to take care of what would take place thereafter. So Jesus paid for it. Say, how did he pay for it? Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. In whom we have redemption through his blood. The blood of Jesus is what gives us our redemption. Can I tell you something? These preachers that get up and say, well, it's just the death of Jesus. It's not the blood of Jesus. They're heretics.
That's right.
They're wrong. What can wash away my sin?
Nothing
but the blood of Jesus Christ. He not only shed his blood, he had to take his blood to the mercy seat in the tabernacle in heaven and put his blood on the mercy seat in heaven, the true tabernacle. The only way you could lose your salvation is go to heaven and wipe Jesus' blood off of the mercy seat in heaven. Guess what? Not going to happen.
That's right.
Wrong answer. So, Jesus, God's grace, is wealthy enough to cover every sin. Number two, I got to hurry. Jesus is the only manufacturer.
Yes, sir.
He's the only one that can pay for it. Look at Hebrews chapter 12. We're going to use our Bibles a little bit, so hang on. Hebrews chapter 12. I'm about ready to come unscrewed. if I shout, just hang in there. I'm not Pentecostal, but I'm going to have a glory spell here in a second. Hebrews chapter 12, look at verse number 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our what? Our faith. For by grace are you saved through... In other words, he's the author and finisher of our salvation, correct? Watch this. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Look at me. Jesus authored and finished our faith. He is the manufacturer as well as the payer of our faith. Romans chapter 12 talks about God giving to every man the measure of faith. God even had to give you the faith to get saved. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that what? That faith is not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. God even had to give you the faith necessary to get saved. We say, put your faith in Christ. No, he even gave you the faith. Just trust him. Now watch this. Turn back to Hebrews chapter 9. This is where I'm going to shout. Hebrews chapter 9, look at verse number 11. Now, this is in reference to looking back at the Old Testament tabernacle, how Jesus fulfills it in our lives today, and then I'm going to show you what happened. Look at verse number 11. But Christ, being come and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood. Sounds like redemption, right? He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal, what's the next word? Redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and of ashes of an heifer, sprinkling to the unclean, sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from the dead works to serve the living God. Watch this. And for this cause, he is a mediator of the New Testament, that by the means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the First Testament, they which are called might receive to the promise of eternal inheritance. Look at me. The Old Testament sacrifices saved no one. They were a picture. Several times a year we have the Lord's Supper. You eat an unleavened piece of cracker and you drink a little cup of unfermented juice. It pictures the broken body and the shed blood of Jesus Christ. We have the written record and we have seen the crucified Savior. In the Old Testament, they had not. God said, I'll show you what Jesus will do for you. He will be the lamb that is slain before the foundation of the world. And there was a sacrifice to remind us what our Savior would do for us in the Old Testament. The Bible says that Jesus is our high priest. By the way, he is not of the tribe of Levi. He's of the tribe of Judah. The Levitical priesthood was done away with. The guy getting up with a grapefruit on his head, walking around in a robe, is wrong because he already fulfilled the Levitical priesthood. There is no need for it. That's why you don't call somebody father. That's why you don't call them rabbi. That's why you don't call them whatever, holy potentate or holy cow or whatever. Can I tell you something? somebody called the office one day and said, well, what should we call Pastor Bush? I hit mute and said, the most holy reverend. And Mrs. Barnes couldn't talk any longer because she was laughing too hard. I thought it was funny. But the Bible warns about us in the priesthood. We're not supposed to be worshiping a priesthood. By the way, they weren't supposed to in the Old Testament either. That was just a representation of what Jesus would do. Now watch this. Are you ready to shout?
Amen.
Animal blood never had a spirit. That's right. So it can't purchase a spiritual price.
That's right.
An animal is a body and a soul. It has no spirit. It does not have the integrity to purchase a spirit.
Right.
Come on now.
Amen.
Did you know a lost person has no spirit?
Right.
They are a body and a soul, and their spirit is dead, and then he's reborn by the Holy Spirit, John chapter 3.
Mm-hmm.
You must be born again. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. Your spirit needs reborn because man's spirit is dead because of sin and trespasses. We are under the law of sin and death. But at the moment of salvation, guess what? We have a spirit that's reborn in us. Man's spirit is reborn by the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit stays sealed in us.
Amen.
Now watch this. That's why God proves here that man cannot work for his own salvation, because man's blood in and of itself is unspiritual. It is dead spiritually and cannot pay the spiritual price. It took a sinless man. His name was Jesus.
Amen.
He was the only one that had spiritual blood, and it took that spiritual blood to pay the spiritual price for salvation. It is not by man's blood. It is not by the blood of animals. It is by the blood of Jesus Christ that we get eternal redemption.
Amen.
Told you I was going to shout. That means this: the church has no blood.
That's right.
I don't care how many times you walk into the doors of this church or any other building we've been in, it does not save you. You can get baptized in every church in town. You can get baptized in every pool, every creek, and every river till you know every tadpole by name, and die and go to hell.
That's right.
Say why? Because baptism doesn't save anybody.
Right.
It is an act of obedience. After you get saved, the first thing you should do is be baptized. But according to the Bible, the thief on the cross that got saved didn't get baptized.
Right.
But he went to heaven. Jesus said, "This day shalt thou be with me in paradise."
But
I'd rather go to heaven obedient than disobedient.
Amen.
Say, well, what's so extra special about it? Because Jesus said, do it and just do it and hush up.
Amen.
Who made you God to where you have to understand it all?
Amen.
You see, according to the Bible, Jesus even purchased the church with his blood. Turn to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Oh, I'm going to get there. Hang on. Acts chapter 2, look at verse number 28. That's not the... I think it's 28 too. Hang on here. I'm in the wrong chapter here. Brother Barnes, it's whistling again. Am I the only one hearing that? Okay. I've been hearing it all service, all right? Y'all looking at me like, Okay, I wrote the wrong scripture down, but everybody look at me. The Bible says that he purchased the church with his own blood. Now, everybody listen to me. And forgive me, I sometimes I'm doing 14 different things while I'm writing sermons out, and I wrote the wrong verse down. But the Bible says that he purchased the church with his blood. Not only is our redemption purchased, but the church was purchased by the blood. That means this: the church can't save you.
That's right.
It is the gospel that saves. It is the power of Jesus Christ that saves. Thank you, Brother Barnes. That helped. You cannot pay for it by your works, by your baptism, or by your church membership. Jesus is the only one. You have to submit the coupon, and whatever it was just came back. Turn off this this one here, Brother Barnes, the handheld, and see if I have a feeling that's messing with something. There's a phantom wave or something there. But anyway, in other words, can I tell you something? This is where I want to pull up and park for a while, but I won't. These Pharisees that say, well, they say they got saved, but I see no evidence of it. Who made you the judge of somebody's salvation?
That's right.
You don't know whether they cashed the coupon in or not. It wasn't paid for by you, and you don't have any proof that they didn't use the coupon. Everybody doing all right? And since you can't get a coupon, you can't purchase it. Guess what? If they have it, they use the coupon to get it. You have no right to judge somebody else's salvation. None. Who made you God? Well, by their works, ye shall know them. Did you ever see a man named Moses in the Bible? He killed somebody, lost his temper, and struck the rock when he was supposed to talk to it. Abraham wasn't even supposed to have Lot with him. Noah got drunk after the flood. Joseph shouldn't have been in the house with Potiphar's wife alone. Ruth should have never married a lost man. David committed adultery and murder. Solomon had 700 wives and 300 substitutes. As if 700 wives wasn't... Can you imagine 1,000 pair of pantyhose in a bathroom at one time? Lord have mercy. Now, I know God said Solomon was the wisest man in the world, but to have 1,000 mother-in-laws is not real smart. One is enough. And sometimes too many. Yeah, that's a lot of pain, a lot of furniture moving, amen. Can I tell you something? The apostles quit the ministry. They started believing in ghosts. You look at any one point in time in their life and you would have said, that person's not even saved. Well, who made you God? You see one part of one life and say, they're labeled forever. They've got to prove to me. Well, who died and made you God? Where is this about judging somebody's salvation? I hate to disappoint you. I've been in churches before where they said, well, this person got saved, but we're going to have to put them through a class before they get baptized because they need to fully understand everything. Oh, wow. Fee-fi-fo-fum. I've simply looked at them and they said, you don't agree? I said, show me one place in that Bible where it says they have to understand. I said, when my daddy told me he took out the trash, I understood what that meant, take out the trash. I didn't have to know why I had to take trash out. I was just supposed to obey. I was given an ultimatum. Either take the trash out or get paddled and take the trash out. You choose, paddled or not. That was the only decision I had. And most of the time I chose without. You say, why? Once was enough. Now, can I tell you something? Too many people want to put everybody, well, we have to have this mental understanding. If you understand you're a sinner on your way to hell, you need a Savior, and His name is Jesus, and He paid the price for you, what more understanding do you need? Everybody doing all right? You had a baby. You didn't throw it away the first time. It didn't use the toilet. You changed its diaper. Yeah, both of them, right? So many thoughts right there. Can I tell you what? Just because your baby didn't understand everything didn't mean that you loved it any less. But when somebody gets saved, they're babes in Christ. They need time to grow. Well, they've been saved long enough. They should know better. Okay, sweetheart, let's start talking about all the sins that you're committing and you know better than to do. Your nose is stuck so far in the air, if it rained, you're going to drown because your nose is backwards. Can I tell you something? We have no right to judge anybody. I walked into a room yesterday, actually sat at the edge of the hallway, with a young lady who tried to commit suicide less than 12 hours before then. I called her by name and I said, I know you don't know me, but I know these family members in your family. Yes, they said you were coming. And I said, I want you to know something. This old preacher cares about you. She put her head down. I said, let me ask you a question. If you would have succeeded at doing what you were doing, where would you be right now? She said, I don't even know. I said, would you have been in heaven? She said, I don't know. And I opened up my Bible. And I showed her Romans 3:10 and 3:23 and Romans 6:23 and Revelation chapter 20, 14 and 15. Went back to Romans 6:23, showed her Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and verse 13. I called her by name and I said, "Wouldn't you like to trust what Jesus did to take you to heaven?" She said, "I could do it now." I said, "You can do it now." She said, "Yes." Bowed her head and trusted Jesus as her Savior. I showed her Romans 10:13 again. "For whosoever," I said, and I put her name in there. I said, "If she shall call upon the name of the Lord, she might be saved." No, it says shall be saved. I said, "Shall be saved until you do something wrong?" She said, "No, shall." And I said, "Guess what? Where are you going when you die?" She said, "Heaven." I said, "10 years from now, if you died, where would you go?" She said, "Heaven." Amen. I said, "If you didn't die for another 70 years, where would you go?" She said, "Heaven." I said, "Sounds like you can know it then, right?" Big old smile on her face. A young lady tried to kill herself. I said, "Now you have something to live for."
Amen.
I said, "Just so you know, this preacher will help you." I said, "I'll be back and I'll help you." I said, "You're going to have to go through the rigmarole here." I said, "But I'll be back and I'll help you." She went, and I said, "What's that for?" She said, "I think I can make it now." I'll be honest with you. That's not me. That's called cashing in on the coupon. God did all that, not me. I just got to hand out the free coupon and say, "Here, use it. And let me show you how to use it."
That's good.
Let me show you how to use it. By the way, you don't need a changed life. You just need to cash in on the coupon. Amen. I'd rather have a changed eternity than a changed life.
Yes.
Everybody doing okay? Some of you are so worried about what's going on here, you forget about eternity. Number three, the manufacturer doesn't pay till later, but he always pays. Jesus had proven he was good for the coupon. Take your Bible, turn to Luke chapter 21. I'll finish with this. Some of y'all are going to shout. Yes. Preached in some of them black churches down south. About to cut loose, amen. Brother Neil, hang on, amen. Get your white hanky out. Luke chapter 2. Yeah, don't use it before you swing it, amen. Luke chapter 21. Look at verse number 25. "And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations, with perplexity in the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them, fear and looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then they shall see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up, lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh."
Amen.
Can I tell you something? Jesus is coming someday, and we'll be able to say, "It's time to be redeemed."
Amen.
He's coming back with payment in hand.
God.
And he says, "Look up, your redemption draweth nigh." It's already been redeemed, but he's coming back to cash in on it.
Amen.
Jesus is coming back in a cloud. It's called the rapture.
Yes.
And at rapture day, can I tell you something? Those of us who are redeemed are going to be taken out of this mess.
Thank God.
Say, why? Because we were purchased by his blood and sealed with the Holy Spirit of God by the righteousness of Christ. He's already paid for it. He's just coming back to cash in.
Amen.
Ka-ching. The rapture's coming and he's cashing in on all the coupons. By the way, that means this: it's a limited time only coupon. It doesn't have a date on it, but it says limited time only. We don't know the day nor the hour when the Son of Man cometh. That means this: you got to cash in today. Today is the day of salvation. If you're not sure you're on your way to heaven, don't leave today without knowing for sure. Can I tell you something? Some of you have lost family members, lost neighbors, lost friends. Can I tell you something? We need to take the free coupon to them and say, cash it in today. Back in January, I preached a funeral for, we just moved into our new house and one of my neighbors passed away. And I preached a funeral for a man I saw him twice in his yard. Bunch of our neighbors were there on the cul-de-sac on which we live. I think we had 15, 16 people saved that day. And my Catholic neighbor lives catty-corner across the street from me. And I mean, he's a hard Catholic. He's not just Catholic, he's Catholic. One of those grumpy ones. He and his wife were the first hands to go up.
Praise God.
First hands to go up. I have a sign in my office that we'll put in a new building that he made for our new church building. Got out of my truck the other day. It's Thursday. Here he comes. Across the road. He said, how's the church going, Pastor? I said, we're hoping to be in it here soon. He said, just so you know, my wife and I are coming that Sunday. I didn't ask him. Say, what happened? Redemption's drawing nigh. We don't know the time nor the hour. Can I tell you something? That means it's our job to take the gospel to every creature. Every creature. We need to get those free coupons out before they expire. Last Saturday, Brother Barnes and I were out talking to one of the neighbors that lives across the field from our new church property. Started witnessing to a 32-year-old man. Got halfway through the gospel and his daddy walked out. The conversation went whoop real quick. You could feel the tension. Brother Mike, I just backed up and said, hang on. I started talking to Dad for a second. I said, I'm talking to your son. He didn't know for sure he's going to heaven. I said, do you know for sure? He said, nope. I'm not kidding. I said, would you like to know? He said, sure. I said, hang on, let me catch him up to where you were. And I started back with Romans chapter 3, verse number 10. I got about halfway through again. I said, now you come over here so I don't have to go like this and I don't want to feel like I'm preaching to you guys. Son walked over, kept going through the gospel. They both bowed their head and trusted Christ as their Savior.
Amen.
Time I got done, I went, no, on the devil, amen. Can I tell you something? Thank God they cashed in on the coupon.
Amen.
I wonder how many people would have saw the roughness of that guy and said, oh, they don't want to listen. Who are we to judge who's going to use the coupon?
Amen.
The manufacturer made it available for as many as that would. Whosoever will may come. Can I tell you something? It's our job to take the free coupon that God gave us and start passing them out everywhere we go. There's a basket full of gospel tracts over there. Take them and give them out everywhere you go. I mean, give them out everywhere you go. Talk to somebody. Tell them about Jesus. Tell them how to get to heaven. I was sitting on that floor at the hospital yesterday, not on the floor, but on the chair in that certain floor of the hospital. There was a lady sitting probably from Juan to me away from the young lady I was talking to. I got up and I handed her a gospel tract. She said, I heard everything you said. I said, would you get saved? She said, don't know yet, but I'll read your piece of paper here. I didn't know she was listening. I wasn't sure she was in her right mind. Seriously. But I happen to know of a man that was a crazy man in a graveyard Jesus talked to one day. He got saved and was sitting clothed in his right mind.
Right.
Well, that person couldn't have got saved anyway. They have just as much hope as you do.
Yeah.
Who made you God? We can't pay anybody else's price. We can only give them the coupon. Let me ask you a question. Who will die and go to hell because you didn't give them a coupon? Or who will die and go to heaven because you did give them a coupon? It's that simple. It's that simple. You know, it's not real hard to walk up to somebody and say, here, take this, it's free. And if you do this, it's free and you live forever. It's really not that hard. Swallow your pride a little bit. Swallow your fear a little bit. I've told you before, I've been soul winning for 38 years, 39 years, more. I've been preaching for 39 years almost. When I knock on a door, Brother Sam, my first thought is, man, I hope they're not home. I'm sorry. But all of a sudden, I start hearing footsteps. And I say, help me, Jesus. And that door comes popping open, and something starts happening supernaturally. I got a track in my hand telling them I'm Pastor Bush from Grace Baptist Church. We're going through there. Y'all get to go to church anywhere. And all of a sudden, by about that time, the Holy Ghost is over control, and I'm sitting on, standing on the other side of the porch just watching what takes place then. It's not me, it's the Holy Spirit working through me. And if they reject me, they didn't reject me, they rejected him. That's what the scripture says. Right. Yeah. You say, what do you do if somebody's mean to you? The Bible says, go knock on the door and find somebody who wants to listen. It's that simple. Our redemption. Redemption is this. It's cashing in the coupon. It's just turning in the coupon and letting the manufacturer pay for it. Well, Jesus is the manufacturer of eternal life. And you've got to turn the coupon in of salvation by submitting the coupon. It's not a piece of paper. It's your life. It's your will. Are you sure you're going to heaven? Let me ask you a question. If you are, have you been passing out any free coupons to anybody? Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. Please be honest with yourself. Be honest with God. Who would say, preacher, if I die today, I am sure. I've trusted Jesus as my Savior. I know for sure I'm going to heaven when I die. Would you raise your hand? You can put your hands down. Maybe you just put your hand up because you thought that's what you should do. Who would say, preacher, I'll be honest with you. If I die today, I'm not 100% sure I'd go to heaven, but I'd like to know it. I won't call your name. I won't come to you. I'll not embarrass you. But you'd say, preacher, that's me. I'm not 100% sure I'd go to heaven when I die. But I'd like to know it someday. Would you raise your hand? All right. Who'd say, preacher, I've been saved, but I've not been baptized, and I need to take care of that someday. Would you raise your hand? All right. There's one. There's two. Somebody else. All right. Who'd say, preacher, somewhere in that sermon, something I needed today. That was for me. Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul. Dozens and dozens of hands. You may put them down. In a moment, we'll stand to our feet. When we stand to our feet, the piano will play. When it does, if you raised your hand saying, I'm not sure I'm going to heaven, we'll take the Bible and show you how you can know for sure. If you've been saved and never baptized, we can take care of it today. We've got everything you need. If you've been saved and baptized, like to join our church, we'd love to have you. But let me remind you, King James only, independent, fundamental, hell-raising Baptist church. Amen. Preach it plain and true. Like it or lump it, there it is. Amen. No false pretenses. But may I say this? Maybe raise your hand saying, God's touched my heart today about something. Why don't you come as far forward as you can, kneel at an altar, use your chair as an altar, and let's let God do some serious business today.